Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Give your walls the most advanced protection with Pittsburgh's Paramount Interior Paint and Primer in 1. It's scuff, scrub, and wear resistant, while also blocking stains and delivering true one-coat coverage. Choose from thousands of color options and refresh your space for spring. View our entire selection of paint and accessories today on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to find great deals happening this week. Save big.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Today's episode trigger warnings are explicit sexual content.
And I have a Spotify comment, and this one comes from _Nerietta_. But it says, I love you guys so much. I love your comments on the books. You all make me laugh a lot.
Thank you.
So sweet.
That's what we're here for.
And this week we're telling Riley all about It Happened One Summer by Tessa Bailey. And how many stars did you guys give it on Goodreads?
So I read this book 3 years ago, obviously in the height of book talk, and like right after Colleen Hoover. I gave it a 5 because I was like, oh my gosh, this is so spicy. Rereading it, it's still really cute, but I would probably give it like maybe a 4.
Okay. I gave it a 4. I thought it was just cutesy. It was just light, fluffy, cutesy. It wasn't anything like, whoa, but it was cute and I liked it.
I also gave it a 4. This is just in my brain. This is Alexis Rose and Mutt fan fiction from Schitt's Creek.
Oh, yeah. That works so well together.
Uh-huh.
I see that. Okay. That's what I'm going to picture now.
She is Alexis Rose.
She is. So the story opens up with our FMC. Her name is Piper Bellinger. She's 28 and an extremely popular socialite. I pictured Serena Vanderwoodson.
I could also see that.
She is just like a very popular it girl. She has nothing else besides just her popularity, and she's always going to parties, and she's just that girl. She gets broken up with in the middle of an A-list celebrity party, and it was her longest relationship ever. 3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Go, girl.
Her ex told her that she's so out of touch with reality and is a complete airhead. She obviously is so embarrassed that it happened, and of course, TMZ already heard and spun the story that she begged him not to dump her at the party. So she deflected and decided to live up to her name as the party girl and break into a bougie rooftop hotel and go to the pool and have a party up there. Not just any party, though. She got a DJ. They've set off fireworks, like a whole extravaganza.
So she's like, I've been broken up with. I'm gonna throw a party. She's like, I'm still cool. I'm still hip. I mean, you are.
The party was a huge success, but unfortunately for her, she went to jail because it was illegal. Her sister Hannah bailed her out of jail, and she was excited to get her phone back and read all the articles about her, about how amazing the party was and how she was able to clear her name from the embarrassing breakup. Except for their director, billionaire stepdad, was beyond furious after learning about the mishap from the news and how much of a mess the party actually was. He tells his stepdaughter that she is so out of touch with reality, has no ambition, and not only what she did was illegal, but the hotel she did it at was a hotel that is partially backing the funding in his next movie and is threatening to pool all the funds because of the stunt that she pulled.
It's not even his fault, though.
No, it's 100% her fault.
Yeah. She's a grown adult.
Because also, this isn't her first, like, she's known for being, like, so...
A party girl?
Yeah.
She's like 90s Paris Hilton.
Oh.
Sana-san, sana-san.
Yeah. She would be in the car with Paris Brittany and Lindsay.
Oh, she would.
Oh, what a time.
Piper's birth father was a fisherman who lived in Westport, Washington. He was a king crab fisherman who passed away while fishing when she was 4. Her stepdad tells her that he owned a small bar in the town, and when he passed, he left the deed to the bar to his daughters. Their stepfather put someone in charge in the meantime as a barkeep, and with the stunt that she just pulled at this age, it's clear to him that she must take on some form of responsibility. So she is to go to Westport to now take over the bar for the next 3 months and live in the apartment upstairs. As they walk back to their room in complete shock, Piper's mom gives her a little bit of advice. She tells her the men of Westport aren't like LA boys. They're men. They have dangerous jobs and that they get their hands dirty, but they will still choose their job over their families and to be careful because that's how she lost her husband. Brendan was the first Westport resident to spot Hannah and Piper when they got out of their taxi and started getting their multiple suitcases out. His eye immediately was drawn to Piper, of course sticking out like a sore thumb, overdressed in beach designer wear even though it's night and raining, and she looked completely appalled with the appearance of the place. He immediately disliked her because of this is his home, and the look on her face was nothing short of dismissive.
Oh, it's gonna be one of those.
Like a love hate.
Yep.
I like those.
The girls get into the bar and it goes completely silent. Everyone is either drooling over them or wondering how lost they are. Multiple men from Brendan's fisherman crew jump up to help the ladies with their suitcases, and everything is brought inside. The girls take in the extremely rundown bar, and Brendan spoke up, said, "If it's not good enough for you, baby, there's the door."
Yeah.
They confirmed they're exactly where they're supposed to be, then dropped the bomb to the men that they're actually the owners of the bar. That didn't go over very well, though, because as far as memory served Brendan, no one owned it. They all owned it. It's called No Name. They all pitch in to flow the alcohol, and it's been vacant since he's been in grade school. Apparently, the custodian that their father has been paying to keep clean, Tanner, he's a huge drunk and he's been on vacation since 2008. So the bar's literally in shambles. Piper flirtatiously eyed up Brendan, but then her eyes snagged on the wedding band on his hand, and then she looked away disinterested. Hannah took that moment to clear up the confusion and told everyone that their father was the original owner of the bar, Henry Cross. Apparently, Henry is a legend in the town. He even has his own memorial. Piper and Brendan went toe-to-toe over the bar, and most people would back down from Brendan's tall, domineering presence, but not Piper. The apartment above the bar was worse than the bar itself. Brendan immediately judged her like everyone else and knew that she wouldn't be able to stand the gross apartment, but she was determined to prove them all wrong. Then she heard vermin crawl at the walls, but it's fine. This would be fine. Her and Hannah would get through 90 days.
No. If I heard that, immediately, I'm out.
If I heard that, immediately, I'd have a pet rat.
Yeah, I'm not killing anything. 100%. I'm either leaving or I'm being one with them.
It's the next day, and Brennan's getting worked up over Hannah and Piper disturbing his routine already. Last night before he left, Piper slipped up by saying she could be in a room full of people she knows and still feels like she doesn't belong. And that sentence alone would not get out of his head. He couldn't understand it, and it was driving him crazy. Because she's like an enigma to him. Like, he's a very type A personality. He likes all of his ducks in a row and thinks to be done a very specific way. And he can't understand this girl, and it's driving him bonkers.
Because when he looks at her, he's like, oh, you're the center of attention and you love it, you spoiled little bitch. But then she said something that was genuine and he was like, what?
Maybe I'm just like a surface person, because somebody would say that and I'd be like, okay.
Wouldn't think about it again.
He's at the grocery store this morning and he hears a newly familiar voice talking to Siri about easy dinner options. He tries his best to ignore her, but he has to get into the next aisle that she's in, and when he sees her, he stops in his tracks. One, because she's literally gotten prettier overnight, and two, because she's wearing a booty short pink sequins jumper in the store.
Oh, just casual.
Yeah. Their eyes meet and they have tension-filled banter back and forth, of course, insulting each other in the process. Brendan is literally the embodiment of Westport. He's hella community-based, and Piper questioned his character with an insult, and it sobered him up enough to decide to help her shop for food, since it's very clear that it's something that she's never done before. As they shop, he gets to know her a little bit more, and he sees that there's more to her than what meets the eye. There was a moment in the store when she went to go walk away, and he grabbed her elbow, and she looked at his wedding band and told him that she wasn't interested in him. He could judge her character off of that, and how she's in the store at 8 a.m. because she wants to try to cook dinner for Hannah tonight, even though she doesn't know how. And she just opened up a little bit to him about her father and the very little memory she has of him. He gives her instructions on how to make spaghetti with meat sauce, and she's just not getting it. So he takes the sauce away and tells her to just to get takeout menus instead. She grabs the sauce back and they have a little tug of war moment, and then she says, God, I feel sorry for your wife. He drops his hold on the sauce and says, you should. She put up with a lot, making it clear that his wife is no longer in the picture and insinuating that she passed away. He doesn't want her to leave feeling guilty, though, because, of course, how would she have known? So he tells her not to forget to have the fire department on speed dial, and then winks and walks away. Hannah and Piper are at the beach snapping pics when we get a little snippet of Hannah. Even though Piper is a very popular socialite, Hannah is super, super private and doesn't like any attention on her. As they were walking down the pier, they walked up to where Henry, their father's memorial, is. It's like a whole ass brass sculpture of their dad. Like, he has like a whole memorial.
That'd be expensive as hell.
I know, they like love this man. They feel really weird and disconnected about it since they know nothing about him, and then they just walk home in silence. They get back to No Name, and an older man was waiting for them. His name is Mick, and he was one of Henry's best friends who was there the day her dad passed away. He had to see the girls for himself, and it turns out his daughter's name was Desiree, and she was married to Brendan, and she did, in fact, pass away. Mick gave her an address to a woman named Opal, who was the most eager to see the girls. She asked Mick the question that's been in the back of her mind for a while now, just how did her father die? Mick told her it was a big wave that hit the boat, and he was there 1 minute and gone the next, and the water is so cold they only have about a minute until the cold freezes them up, and Henry was never found. The sisters were attempting to make dinner, and Piper was swooning over asshole Brendan's muscles, and Hannah was swooning over her boss Sergey's personality, and the next thing they know, the kitchen rag's on fire. Piper flung the kitchen rag into the pan with their cooking meat and ran the pan downstairs to take it outside while on fire so they didn't burn the place down. Brendan is out to dinner with his best friend Fox at a restaurant which is right across the street from No Name. Fox tells him that he heard about his power struggle with the girl in No Name, and he tells his friend it's okay to move on. It's been 7 years. And Piper was like, this must be really recent because he's still wearing his wedding ring. But we find out that it's been 7 years since she's passed away.
Oh, and he's still wearing his wedding ring?
Yeah. Some time passed, but Brendan finally spoke up and told Fox not to go sniffing around the older one.
He said, I want that bitch.
Dibs.
Just as they got their food and they were about to eat, a brightness caught the corner of his eye, and it's none other than Piper and Hannah jumping out of No Name with the pan on fire in hysterics. Brendan immediately jumps to his feet and grabs a fire extinguisher from the restaurant and goes to save his girl. His adrenaline is on full force, and he turns on Piper, blaming her for almost burning the place down. Hannah immediately has her sister's back and calls Brendan a bully, which does not sit well with him. She tells him that Piper doesn't need another man to make her feel like shit and to leave her sister alone, and if that he was to blame anyone, it should be her, because she was the one who left the rag on the stove. Brendan is beside himself right now. He feels taken back that he was just called a bully. He feels the hot anger of another guy making Piper feel less than. But he couldn't leave without apologizing for his actions. Hannah tried fighting him on it, but somehow in the mix of it, Fox convinced Hannah to go take a walk to a record store down the street while Brendan apologized to Piper and ordered takeout. Piper and Brendan got into the restaurant across the street, and he offered Piper his food. They opened up a convo about fishing jobs, and it brought him a weird sense of pride because Piper started eating his fish and chips, and he's obviously a fisherman. He like got really sentimental and felt very prideful that Piper could be eating the fish that he caught.
Okay. I caught that fish.
He's like, I'm bringing the food home for my girl right now.
He said, that food? That's me.
Yeah. But he's like, yeah, it makes me feel like a man, baby.
Like I'm a motherfucking man.
Since she's eating his meal, she's like, why don't you just eat Fox's chicken pot pie that's right there? And he's like, can't. It's not fish and chips. And she's like, what? He's like, I don't try new things. I don't like new things.
Fair. I get it.
She said an unexpected joke, and he literally LOL'd, which scared him and literally everyone else in the restaurant, because Brendan is the tall, broody type. Like, he doesn't laugh out loud. And one real conversation with this girl, and she's already made him do that.
Oh my god.
Girl. She put the fork in front of him with the chicken pot pie and told him to try the damn pie. And for her, he does.
Oh, I love a fucking chicken pot pie.
Me too.
So good.
But he can't do anything without finishing it, so he, like, makes himself eat the entire thing.
Yeah, he takes a bite and he's like, this is disgusting, I hate it. But then he, like, force feeds himself the whole thing.
Wow.
Brendan wanted to know more about her desperately, so he asked her why she came to Westport. She was hesitant, and he promised not to hold it over her, so she told him. He told her that she should enjoy her time while she's here, and then she hinted on asking a man to take her fishing to show her a good time. That made him hot with jealousy, and he said, no, babes, if anyone's gonna take you out, it'll be me. But he hesitated before actually asking her out, and then Hannah and Fox are back. But he just lost his window of opportunity because he'd be gone for the next 3 days for a fishing trip starting tomorrow. Piper wakes up to Brendan knocking on her door. She's thinking, this man obviously just wants to be friends with me because she's tried all the tricks in the book, obviously, and he's still, even though she knows that his wife has passed away, he's probably not moved on since he still has a ring on, but she's given him flirty looks and she told him about, like, oh, I want to go fishing, and he didn't say anything, so she's like, let's just be friends.
No.
So Piper opens the door and she's in her tank top, like a cute little tank tank top and chonies. And Mr. Mans, he's looking up at the ceiling blushing because he is respectful. And she's like, oh, this? It's fine. You should see my Insta. But still grabs a pillow to cover herself.
She's like, I post myself half naked on Instagram. Check it out.
When she asks what he's doing there, he tells her that they changed the locks to the doors downstairs because when they first moved to the bar, it was a community bar. Everyone pretty much had a key. So he changed the locks to the door downstairs and he's going to do the same to their apartment door now since he's leaving for 3 days and he wants to make sure they're safe while he's gone.
I'd be like, get out.
No, I'd be like, oh my God.
You don't even fucking like me. Go away.
I mean, I'd be like, yeah, change the lock, but get out.
He also brought her some takeout menus and even circled the dishes that he orders so she knows the best things from the restaurant. And then he gave her his father-in-law's number just in case she had an emergency while he was gone and his for when he gets back. They're about to leave for their trip, and instead of helping the crew, Brennan downloaded Instagram. He couldn't help that after Piper answered the door in her white chonies and told him that there's more revealing pictures on Instagram, he couldn't help but to be intrigued.
I mean, yeah, I feel like that would be anyone's natural instinct.
It would be mine.
His crew finds him, and they help him set up his page. Obviously, she has millions of followers. She's verified all the fun stuff. But he's completely taken back by her beauty and also by her world. He couldn't help but feel so insecure about how lavish her lifestyle is and how he fed her fish and chips last night. And he thought that she probably laughed behind his back when she got home. Since he's never been on Insta, he hit the follow button not knowing that she would get a notification that Captain Brendan Taggart just Insta-stalked her.
And it's the only person he follows.
And like immediately after, she's like, check out my Instagram. He's like, okay.
Yeah.
I will immediately.
I will make an Instagram and I will follow you
just to see what you're talking about.
Yeah. And everyone on the crew's like, no. And he was like, oh, too late.
Yeah. And he's like, maybe I'll just unfollow it. And they're like, no, that's worse. You just have to ride it out now. When Piper and Hannah were at the winery, she started spiraling about which pictures Brennan looked at, but also found it endearing that he created a whole account just to look at her. Hannah warns her sister just to be careful about Brennan because she doesn't really like him because he's mean to her. And Piper's ex-boyfriends, all of them have been shitty and mean, and it's becoming a trend. She gets to their apartment, and a little old man is waiting for them. He owns the hardware store, and Brendan left him a note and some cash, telling him to install some padding on the top of her bunk so she doesn't keep hitting her head, because they have bunk beds at the apartment, and obviously, since she's not used to it, she has, like, a bruise on the top of her forehead from, like, her sitting up and hitting her head. Lil Mama's a swoon in that he's just taking care of her without saying anything and just doing it. It's Friday now, and Piper offered to help the little old man, Abe, over to the museum since he's so old he can't get up the stairs by himself. It's 3 days now since Brennan's been gone and she's been thinking about him nonstop. She decided to finally go see the woman named Opal that everyone keeps asking if she's seen yet. Opal, turns out, is her grandmother. They do some awkward small talk and Opal pulls out a box and it's filled with things of Henry, her father. She finds family pictures from their life when he was alive. Seeing all this really humanized her father and made him more than just a distant memory. Opal tells her the grief is so overwhelming that she doesn't go out side really. She doesn't talk to anyone either. It's just her hairdresser, Barbara, who is supposed to be here by now to do her hair. Opal just stays in her apartment, and Piper encourages her grandmother to go outside and told her that she would help her be her wingwoman when she's ready. Since Barbara isn't here to show up for her hair appointment, Piper is like, you know what? I'm gonna give my grandma a makeover. She gave her a faux hawk.
Wow.
She walked home without using her GPS and felt 10 times lighter, so she's getting very accustomed to her life right now. Piper and Hannah called their mom and obviously called her out on gatekeeping a whole ass family member from them. And after the call, Piper's looking around No Name and gets hit with inspiration on fixing up the lost legacy. She talks about her idea to Hannah, and the bar makeover could be a win-win. It could show their stepfather Daniel that they're responsible enough to come home early and could also help get some closure for those grieving Henry after all this time. As they're surveying the room, a white corner poking out of the plywood catches Piper's eye. She tugs on it and it's an old Polaroid of someone singing. Piper and Hannah take down the plywood wall, and under it is a mirror filled with a bunch of different Polaroid pictures taped to it, and they find a beautifully intact, happy picture of their father, and it gave them all the confirmation they needed to restore the bar, not just for their sake, but for his.
Cute.
Brendan doesn't know why, but he feels super jumpy and anxious on his way back from his fishing expedition. He thought about Piper constantly on his 3 days out at sea, and when they get back, he's supposed to be helping to set up a memorial dinner for Desiree, and he really doesn't want to think about his feelings for Piper tonight. The second they're close enough to shore to have reception, he opens Instagram and sees that Piper followed him back.
Oh.
Yeah. He sees a new picture she posted at the winery and a comment from his father-in-law telling her to call him. So Mick commented on the picture and was like, call me.
What a weird thing.
Yeah, Mick is interesting. A while later, Fox and Brendan are drinking a beer at No Name next to a shrine to Desiree, which was weird. Like, the town doesn't move on from Desiree.
Who is Desiree again?
His late wife.
His late wife, okay.
Fox tells Brendan that he thinks it's time for Brendan to finally move on, and all of this is a little bit much. So Fox is like, this is kind of insane that after 7 years, we still have to do this memorial dinner. There's a full-on shrine to your late wife. You're still wearing your wedding ring. This is a little crazy.
Yeah.
He's telling Brendan that Mick needs to let Brendan finally let all of this go because it's not fair. So a lot of the reason that Brendan's having trouble moving on is because Mick won't let him.
Oh, that's rough.
Yeah.
He gets weird about it. He's like kind of pushy about not letting Brendan not forget her. Like, how can you forget her? You're not going to forget her, but you have to, like, at some point.
You have to move on with your life.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still young.
Yeah. I mean, if I die, Andrew, he can't date anyone else. Sorry.
Ever again.
Ever. I'll haunt you.
But he also doesn't need to make a shrine once a year.
No. No.
Only for like the first like four.
You said it's 5 years later? She died seven.
Seven.
Okay. Yeah. That's a little much.
Yeah. As Fox and Brendan are having this conversation, Piper walks in on the conversation and is like, hey. And she has no idea what this memorial is. She thinks it's just a potluck that she was invited to. And she's wearing bright pink sequins. And he finds himself excited to see her. But then he sees that she brought down a tray of tequila shots. And she like looks around the room and she's like, why is everybody so bummed? Let's turn the music up and party. And then she looks around and realizes what kind of party this is. And she's like, oh shit, I'm so sorry. And she just runs out.
I think I would too.
I would too.
Brendan goes after her and follows her outside. She's heading toward the harbor and he calls after her, but she's like, no, you have to go back to your wife's memorial. He tells her she's not gonna outrun him in those heels, and he grabs her and she starts crying because she's so embarrassed.
Yeah.
I would pass away.
I think I would also cry.
Me too.
He hugs her and he's amazed at how soft she is. She asks if he hates her and he tells her not to be ridiculous. She thinks everyone back at the bar must hate her for being such an airhead. So she feels like that little outburst just kind of cemented everyone's thoughts that she's just a vapid socialite airhead.
Yeah.
He has the urge to kiss her, but he knows that this is not the time. He takes her to sit on a bench at the harbor to talk to her. He asks who would call her an airhead and then tells her that dinner needed a little boost. Those memorials were sad for the first few years, but after 7 years, it's just duty at this point. And she is shocked to hear that Desiree has been gone for this long because of how everybody's acting about it. So she's like, you guys act like she passed away like 2 months ago and it's been 7 years. That's insane.
Yeah.
He tells her Desiree had an aneurysm while he was away at sea, and he harbors a lot of guilt about it. She tells him she's sorry that happened to him, and they have a little discussion about her lack of serious relationships, and he's getting little glimpses of her insecurities, which he finds endearing because he gets to see the real her. Piper tells Brendan about meeting Opal, and that seeing the memorial of Henry didn't really make her feel anything, but then she found the photos of her father behind the plywood, and her and Hannah finally felt connected to him. And now she has guilt about not coming back to this place sooner, and that they have plans to fix up No Name for real. They make this loaded eye contact, so he brings up the Instagram thing and she asks what pictures he looked at. And he says, I looked at a lot of them.
He said, every single one.
When I jerked my wiener off.
Ew.
He tells her he's proud of her for staying here as long as she has and the way she takes care of her sister. He helps her up and brings her home, telling himself if it were any other night, he would have made a move by now. At her door, he tells her he'll be around and then he goes home. Later on, he decides to take off his wedding ring after all this time.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, girl.
The next day, Hannah and Piper start working on the bar and it is hard ass work, which they have never done before. They're like sweating.
So literally Paris and Nicole.
Yeah. It is. Yes. They take a lunch break and feel really accomplished about the progress they're making. Brendan walks in with coffee and pastries, and Piper is immediately checking him out in a way that makes her nipples hard as diamonds. As she adds cream and sugar to her coffee, she can see Brendan watching how she makes it as if he wants to see how she takes her coffee. Which, cute.
That is cute.
Yeah.
Hot.
Then she notices it. He's not wearing his wedding ring.
I would drop my pants.
Your sister is there.
I would still drop my pants.
She gets flustered and starts to word vomit about their plans for the bar, and he walks over to the wall and rips a piece of plywood off, revealing a door that the girls never noticed, and it is a patio. So the bar has a patio.
Holy shit. Why would you board over that?
He tells her he'll help set it up with them and make it all spiffy for the bar patrons, and Hannah's like, oh my god, Piper, he's totally into you. Later on, Brendan leaves and comes back to the bar with some wood, and he's making a pergola for the patio, and Piper's like, fuck, it's working. I am into this man because he is making me a whole ass pergola.
You know how hard that is?
Labor.
Anytime I see a power tool in Greg's hand, I'm like, yeah.
Yes. The next day, she's having lunch with Brendan and some of the guys from the boat, and Piper brings up the fact that Brendan hasn't posted his first Instagram post yet. She tells him it has to be a selfie for the first time. She forces him to pose for her outside, and he tells her he's never doing this again. Like, she makes him go outside, she's checking the lighting, telling him how to pose while she, like, holds her camera.
Cute. She's teaching him the ways.
She makes him pull his sleeves up to show off his muscles, and he is absolutely miserable for the whole process. She tries making him smile, but he refuses. So she tells him that she tried his recommended dishes off the takeout menu while he was gone, and he was right. They were superior. And this gets a smile out of him, and she snaps the picture. She posts it for him, and she immediately goes to like it from her account. The weeks pass, and Brendan is continuing his work on the pergola, and watching him do this makes Piper all sorts of soaked. Like, she's just watching this man do labor, and she's like, oh my god. Because she's just been dating these, like, smarmy city boys. She's never seen a man hold a hammer.
Never. Put a nail in a wall? Fuck.
Yeah, put a nail in me.
Yeah.
The day he finishes, Hannah is off at Opal's, so it's just Brendan and Piper at the bar. She goes to look at his handiwork, and she's amazed. It's beautiful. The whole patio looks completely different. He asks her to dinner and says that he was using the pergola to build up the courage to ask, and Piper is smitten, and she says, yes, absolutely. But then she warns him she's going back to LA in a couple of months, and he's like, okay, I got it. Let's just see what happens. He tells her he'll pick her up tomorrow at 7 and goes to leave, but she's like, wait. And then he grabs her and kisses her, and it's the best kiss of her whole life.
Yeah.
It turns into an entire makeout session, and Piper's like, oh god, we're about to fuck, aren't we? But then the door bursts open, and Hannah walks in, killing the mood. He tells her, tomorrow night, 7, and then he leaves.
Tomorrow night, 7. We're fucking.
The seam of her panties was damp, her nipples stiff and achy, her fingers twitching to be twisted once again in Brendan's shirt.
Piper tells Hannah what just happened and runs to her closet to pick out her outfit for her date tomorrow. The next night, Brendan is setting his dining room table for his date, so he's making her dinner.
Cute.
He's nervous, but very excited. He heads to No Name and knocks on Piper's door, and when she opens it, he sees her teeny tiny dress, and he is speechless. She looks amazing, and he has to adjust himself in his pants.
Oh, of course.
Because he's got a big dick.
He said, excuse me, my dick is getting hard.
He can see that she's trying to put him in the friends with benefits category with this outfit, but he's determined to make her see him as more. He tells her she looks beautiful. Hannah pops out and tells Brendan to have her sister back at a reasonable hour, and Brendan says he's leaving in the morning for a 2-week crabbing expedition, so no worries. They get to his house, and when he opens the car door for her, she's like, wow, what a gentleman. And he says, yes, exactly. I'm going to make you see that I am a perfect gentleman.
Okay.
They go inside, and Piper is pleasantly surprised. His furniture is all handmade, and everything is neat and tidy. He gets them a nice bottle of champagne from the fridge, and she says they should both have some, but he says no, he only drinks beer. And she tells him she bets by the end of the night she can get him to drink some, in a very suggestive tone.
Drink it out of my butthole.
Oh. He starts cooking their fish dinner as she watches him, and he really likes having her in his kitchen while he cooks. They head out to the patio so he can show her what he thinks they can do with the patio at the bar, and it's beautiful. He has a total green thumb, and Piper is amazed. She asks if he ever travels, and he says, nope, I don't leave this town. And she tells Brendan about how her mother always warned her against being involved with fishermen. They always choose the ocean above all else. So her mother has been very adamant about Piper not falling in love with a fisherman.
Her mom says, I've been there, done that.
And it broke her mama's heart.
She thanks him for sending the handyman to put the bumper on her bed, and he looks at her forehead and says, it looks like the bruise is healing up nicely. And she's like, yeah, but you could have just kissed it better. They break the moment and go inside to have dinner. dinner, the food is delicious, and while they're eating, he confesses to Piper that he's having a second boat built. He's going to ask Fox to captain the Delray so he can put some space between himself and Mick, because Mick owns the Delray, and it's just, like, too close. They're together all the time, and how is he going to get over his dead wife if he's always with his late father-in-law?
I mean, true.
She tells him how much she admires his work ethic and loyalty, and he gives her a pep talk about how well she's been doing, given that she's only used to Los Angeles. She gets up and steps in between his legs, and he's like, whoa, this isn't why I invited you tonight. And she's like, it's one of the reasons, right? And then she peels down the top of her dress.
She said, look at these titties.
Yeah, she says, no, I want this. Brendan opened his eyes, and a shudder racked him, his hands flying up to grip her hips. Oh, Jesus fucking Christ, they're so pretty, baby. He leaned in, pressing his open mouth to the smooth path of skin between her breasts, breathing heavily, using his hold on her hips to pull her closer, like he couldn't help it. This is where you put that perfume, isn't it? Right here between your sexy little tits. He says, I can smell it right here in this spot.
She says she did, and it's all for him. He tries to tell her that he knows what she's doing, that she wants to make this all about fucking. She tells him just to touch her and takes a swig of champagne before kissing him and tells him she knew she could get him to try some. He asks for more, so she pours some onto her nipples and tells him to taste.
Ooh.
He sucks the champagne off her nipples and then out of her belly button, and she starts moaning, and he asks if he can put his hands up her dress, and she's like, yes! He starts groping her ass, and he gets a little overzealous about it and apologizes, confessing that he hasn't had sex in 7 years.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
He's gonna blow right in his chonies.
Yeah. Her gaze traveled down the front of his body, stopping when she reached the outline of his painful-looking erection. It protruded against the fly of his jeans, large and heavy. His own hand crept toward it, his sexual frustration obvious in every harsh line of his face. There was a way to wrestle back control of this push and pull between them and make him feel good, and she suddenly couldn't help herself. Oh, Brendan. She went down on her knees and pressed a kiss to the thick bulge. We need to take care of this, don't we?
Naughty girl.
Mommy's here.
Let me service you.
She tells him she wants to make him feel good and drops to her knees and pulls his dick out.
She drew down the waistband of his briefs and saw his erection up close. Male.
What? Yeah, he is.
That's what a dick is. There was no other way to describe the unapologetic weight and steel of him. The thick black hair at the base. The heavy sack. He was long and smooth and broad. Veins wrapped around him like lines on a road map. And wow, yes. She'd been telling the truth. She really did want to make him feel good. So badly. Her inner thighs were turning slick with her own need. She dragged her tongue up the meaty underside of him. Closed her mouth over the velvet helmet on top, making her tongue flat and stiff. She teased the salty slit, the sensitive ridges, before tunneling him in deep, deep, right up to the point where tears pricked her eyelids. Meaty. Helmet.
He tells her he's close, and she says, anywhere you want, Captain. He pulls away and grabs her, putting her on the table, and takes his shirt off, and he is jacked as hell.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's so hot.
He's a sailor man.
He is. Popeye.
Wait, I was... She pointed at his erection. You were... Don't worry about me, he rasped, dragging her to the edge of the table. Open your thighs and let me see it, Piper.
Let me see your pussy.
Her inner walls clenched, delighting in his bluntness. But you think I'm going to get sucked off and leave town for 2 weeks? Not going to happen. You're getting off, baby, or nobody is getting off. Why can't you both get off, you fucking weirdos?
Yeah. No, this is about her.
If he hasn't came with another person in 7 years, I would want to see that shit that day.
I feel like I would want to see that more than me getting off. I'd be like, yeah. No, you come. You first.
He lifts up her shirt and takes off her panties, and he uses the fabric to jerk off while he goes down on her, and she's never gotten eaten out this well in her whole life. She comes harder than she ever has, but Brendan is still hard as steel.
Can I rub it here, baby? Brendan rasped the question, his bare chest heaving, a fine sheen of sweat on those work-honed muscles. Just want to rub it where I made you come. Yes. He all but fell on her, his face landing in the crook of her neck, his fist positioning his stiffness between her thighs, right over the uber-sensitive flesh. One day soon, Piper, I'm going to fuck you so goddamn hard. He alternated between dragging his swollen tip
through her saturated folds and stroking himself. Going to fuck the word friend right out of your beautiful mouth. You'll forget how to say anything but my name. Just fuck right now.
No, he's doing hamburger and hot dog bun. Or no, he's doing hot dog. He's doing hot dog in hot dog bun.
What? But why? This is my beef with these books. They never or rarely fuck on the first time. Just fuck.
He's a what gentleman. Is
this? They're building the tension.
Like, your penis is already sitting right in her little puss.
The way I would literally, like, ram myself forward.
Yeah, I would be like, give it to me. Just let me fucking do it then. But I get it. It's the theatrics of it all. I get it. I do get it. But on, just fuck.
He comes on her stomach, groaning her name. He then gets up to get some napkins to clean her off and tells her he's gonna starve to death without the taste of her for 2 weeks. She says maybe when he gets back, she'll give him a taste, but she's super in her head about how this is an authentic connection and it's freaking her out, so she has him drive her home. As he drops her at the door, he gives her a deep, passionate kiss and the spare key to his house in case her and Hannah need it when he's gone. As he walks away, she asks him to be careful while he's gone. It's 13 days later, and Hannah is a frequent patron of the record shop, and Piper sees Opal and Abe consistently. Piper looks to the sky and sees a horrible storm brewing on the horizon. She asks one of the locals and is told it's a typhoon heading in from Alaska, and now she's super worried about Brendan, because it's right on his path. The storm finally hits town, and it's super intense. Piper locks up No Name and runs to Brendan's house while Hannah helps to close up the record store. She falls asleep in his bed, hoping he's okay out there. She wakes up in the morning to a phone call from Hannah telling her that one of the crew members' wives told her there was an accident and Brendan is at the hospital.
No! Not her Pookie.
She throws on one of his shirts and borrows his truck to get there as fast as possible. She gets there, and on her way to his room, she sees him standing in the hallway and breaks down, but tries to be casual and says she just wanted to be neighborly and check on him. And he's like, oh, are you wearing my shirt? And she's like, yeah, I have your truck too. Yeah. And now Brendan is like, yeah, this girl is mine. She wants me. Oh. He holds her and tells her what happened. One of the crewmates, Sanders, got a concussion during the storm, and he came back to be with him at the hospital, so he didn't get hurt.
Okay.
Fox is still out with the boat, and he kisses her passionately, and it turns into a feral makeout session. He tells her to stop, or he's gonna have to fuck her right here, and she's like, do it. And they're in a hospital hallway.
Okay, Charlotte, we know what you've done in a hospital.
I simply nursed my husband back to health, okay? He brings her to an empty room, and they just start going at it.
Her lithe thighs skimming up to his waist, his hips punching forward to get his cock up against her softness, pinning her to the wall in the process. Notice we didn't have to get any panties off, he said in between kisses, finding her incredible ass with both hands and kneading her buns almost angrily. Because Jesus, this thing drove him fucking crazy. Her buns!
Her hot dog buns.
Those would be hamburgers.
You drive here in my truck with a bare pussy, Piper? She bit his bottom lip, tugged, slept in your bed with it too. With my bare puss. I rubbed it on your bed.
I was snail trailing all over.
You'll have pink eye later.
She takes off her shirt and she is bare ass naked. She is only wearing his shirt, which is such a choice.
Oh, that is, must be a very large shirt then.
He's a big man. He pulls his dick out and then freezes. He doesn't have a condom.
Oh no.
She tells him she's clean and on the pill, and he says, I'm clean too.
She's like, yeah, obviously, you haven't fucked anyone. Piper, Jesus, are you gonna let me fuck you bare? Yes, yes. She purred that second yes, and his balls cinched up painfully, making him grit his teeth, mentally ordering himself not to come too fast. But when he notched his first few inches inside of her wet heat, it became obvious what a challenge that would be. God, baby, God. He rocked deeper, and she gasped, you're tighter than sin. By the time he filled her completely, she was shaking like a fucking leaf, and he had to focus on staying still, just long enough to organize his lust, garner some semblance of control, or he'd just take her in a frenzy. He just needed a minute. Just a minute. Rough, she sobbed, her back arching off the wall. Want you rough. Okay, the way she said that, rough, want you rough, reminds me of when Kevin is on The Office and he's like, why say lot word when few words do trick?
He fucks her hard and fast, and she's choking back screams. She starts doing Kegels with him inside of her, and he almost comes just from that.
Came here to be neighborly, Piper? Is there anything neighborly about the way I'm giving you this cock? God, he loved the way she whined his name in response. I was out in the middle of a fucking storm thinking about you. Thinking about how pretty you look in my garden. Thinking about you waiting for me at the end of my dock, in my harbor. Standing there in the sunset so I can touch you before I even touch land. He opened his lips on the pulse at her neck, raising the spot with his teeth, his hips moving in hard punches. I thought about your mouth and your eyes and your legs and your pussy. I never stopped. Now you knock that phony shit off, baby, and tell me you missed me. She inhaled hard, her fingers curling on his shoulders. I missed you.
He's trying his best not to come when she starts moaning, saying she's almost there. They come together and then Piper immediately gets weird and is like, okay, but we are not boyfriend girlfriend. We can be friends with benefits. And he's like, no.
He said, not me, baby, not me.
They agree on labeling themselves as more than friends. Then he gets paged on the intercom to come to the information desk. They sneak out of the room and find Mick waiting for them.
Uh-oh.
My daughter died only a mere 7 years ago, and you've already found someone.
How dare you move on?
How dare you?
She's still warm in her grave after all these
How
years.
How could you? Where's your ring? Put it on.
He looks at their joined hands and then sees the lack of wedding ring, and Piper panics and just books it out of the hospital. She gets home and is having an internal crisis that is interrupted by a text from her grandma. Opal is ready to party.
Hell yeah.
She heads over and they spend a few hours getting all dolled up, and then she gets a text from Brendan that he wants to see her. She texts back that she's going out tonight and maybe she'll catch him later in Blow the Man Down, which is the bar that they're going to, I guess. It's called Blow the Man Down.
Oh.
He starts to write back, but never does, and they get to the bar and Opal is immediately greeted by old friends who are stoked to see her out looking so snazzy. Then Piper proceeds to get wasted and is now the leader of a group of drunk girls asking her for beauty tips. She announces that she's throwing a Labor Day makeup party at No Name and orders everybody to get up and dance. Meanwhile, Brendan is watching very amused from the side of the bar, and it's in this moment he knows that he loves her.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
She spots him and goes up to him, telling him that she missed him and their sex was the best sex of her life. But she says it really loud as the music cuts out and the whole bar hears.
Uh-oh.
He brings her back to his house and puts her to bed, and she tells him maybe they're more than just friends. The next morning, he brings her on the Delray to talk about the state of their situationship. He shows her around the boat and gives her the rundown on how things work so she can ease her mind a little bit about his job being dangerous, but she still has reservations about being in a relationship with someone who might go out to sea and never return. He tells her a little bit about Desiree and how it was a marriage of convenience, nothing like how it is with Piper, and he kept his ring on out of respect for Mick.
That's literally wild.
He's like, it was convenient. We got married. It wasn't passionate. We were just married. It was easy.
Yeah, fuck that bitch. She's gone. It's fine.
He said, you though? You and your pussy.
He tells her there's no one else out there quite like her, and she sells herself short. And she's like, okay, we're boyfriend and girlfriend now.
Oh. He twists my arm.
He's stoked, but then he brings up LA. She doesn't want to talk about that right now, and he shows her the sleeping quarters, and when she sees his bunk is the only one without pictures, she says she'll give him some that he can put up. She starts to undress for him, and he snaps some pictures of her and tells her the bed isn't strong enough for what he's about to do to her.
God damn it, Piper. You make me so fucking hard. They both push down the waistband of his boxer briefs, hands colliding, tongues stroking into each other's mouths, Piper teasing, Brendan aggressing. Finally, his shaft was free, and he winced, sucked in a breath, wrapping a fist around the thickness of it. Tell me you're wet. Tell me to put it in. I'm so wet, she moaned, lifting her hips, running the insides of her knees up and down his heaving rib cage. I'm ready. I need you. Rough as you can. That full, smooth dome pressed up against her entrance, and she braced, one hand flying to his shoulder, the other to the wooden bunk rail. And still, she wasn't prepared for the savagery of that first thrust. With a hoarse roar, his hips drove Piper up the narrow bed, his thickness invading all available space within her. And without allowing her time to acclimate, he was already pumping feverishly, rocking the bed with staccato squeaks. Scream for it, baby, he panted, raking her ear with his open mouth. Whine for my cock. No one can hear us. Brendan, she gasped, then louder. Brendan, you're so good. It's so good. I'll never lie in this bed again without having to jerk off. His hand came up to frame her jaw, applying just enough pressure while looking her square in the eye that another rush of wetness coated her sex. aiding him in his destruction of her senses. You love knowing that, don't you? You love making me fucking crazy. She bit her lip and nodded. Sure you want to be my boyfriend? Yes, he growled and slammed into her, holding still, deep, his pained face dropping into the crook of her neck. And don't call me that right now, or I'm going to come.
The confession causes her to contract, and Brendan can feel this as she cries out that she's so close.
Fuck, he groaned out, picking up his blistering pace again, the sound of wet slaps echoing in the tiny room. Fuck it, I can't stop. She milked him with her intimate muscles, and he moaned, pumped harder.
Intimate muscles?
Yeah, little Kegel.
Rattling the bed beneath them. That make you hot, baby? Hearing how being your man is going to get me off, get your boyfriend off? Say it again. She ran her nails down his hard, flexing butt and dug them in, whispering, my boyfriend fucks me so right. I let him come inside me whenever he wants. A smile, dazed and wicked, curved her lips when she snuck her middle finger down the split of his backside and cinched it inside the puckered entrance. He knows just how to earn it. Christ, I'm done, and you better fucking come with me, Piper, he rasped, reaching down and fondling her clit with his thumb. I satisfy my girlfriend's pussy every time.
His banter during sex is a little weird.
Yeah. He cleans her up, and she's like, so, do you want to talk about the finger thing? She just fingered his little booty.
Not to stereotype it, but I feel like he would not be down for that. You know, not to judge a book by its cover, but I feel like King Crab Fisherman, burly, big muscle man, he'd be like, hey, get out of there!
Yeah. He said, ah.
You know what? It's been 7 years. He's like, I'll take what I can get.
I'll take it.
After they're all cleaned up and they don't want to talk about the little finger thing, he feels pretty selfish because he feels like he's asking a lot from her in terms of like boyfriend-girlfriend stuff when she clearly has been like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
So they head back to the bar and she falls asleep. When they get there, they say their goodbyes so she could spend time with her sister. And as they kiss goodbye, he knows that she's going to be the death of him. He's like, yep, I'm way in too deep with this girl. I fucking love her. Don't really know how she feels about me. So he goes over to Fox's house and has to step around asking for advice about women because he's never had to do that before. And Fox is the only guy he knows that gets laid on a regular basis, which probably not the best to ask for advice on that.
No.
And he wants advice specifically how to handle asking Piper to stay in Westport permanently with him. He doesn't want her to go back to LA.
But what about you go back to LA? Go with her.
He can't leave his town.
He's a townie.
Piper calls just then to ask Brendan to borrow the truck for a chandelier, and he decides he's going to be spontaneous and says, yeah, we'll go get your chandelier for the bar, but we're going to keep going to Seattle. We'll come back on Monday. And she's completely taken aback because he doesn't do spontaneous. He also says that Fox and Hannah are going, and she's like, okay, cool. But when they hang up, Fox is like, you motherfucker, you owe me. I did not agree to this. And then Brendan's like, okay, cool. You have the Delray. And then he just walks out as if he's not giving a whole ass ship to his friend.
Yeah, what the fuck?
It's the next day. Piper is packing her bag and thinking about Brendan is just making her hella soaked. After she's all packed up, her and Hannah talk about possibly opening the bar next week on Labor Day. So they call and invite Daniel, who is their stepdad. But Piper knows that she doesn't have to go back to LA if this thing with her and Brendan keeps moving forward. But she doesn't want to verbally say that she's not going to go back. Like, it's her backup plan.
Yeah.
Daniel agrees to be there, and when they hang up, the boys arrive to pick them up. They load everything up and start driving, and Piper sees where the GPS is taking them, and apparently it's like this well-renowned bougie-ass hotel, and she hasn't had bougie in however many days.
So she like excited?
Oh yeah.
She's like fiending. She's like, oh, it's close, baby, I feel it.
I'm gonna get room service.
They all agree that Piper and Hannah will take one room together, and then Brendan and Fox will have their own separate rooms. Brendan has paid for the whole entire trip. So for Fox's room, his room, the girl's room, everything.
Okay, Brendan.
They pick up the chandelier, and Piper notices as they continue their drive that Hannah and Fox are getting a little too comfy in the back seat, and she does not like it because she knows Fox's reputation. When they get to the hotel, the girls split to go to their room, and Piper tries to ask Hannah what's going on with her Karen Fox, but she says nothing is going on. So she's like, okay, just checking. The girls get waxed in the room, which she was like the most excited for that.
Okay. But also, you didn't even ask Brendan if he was okay paying for that.
Then they meet the boys. Hannah and Fox go to this record convention, and Brendan is excited because him and Piper finally get alone time before they all meet back up for dinner. She asks him what he wants to do, and he tells her that he's going to take her shopping. She tries to tell him that she doesn't need fancy stuff anymore.
Piper, he dropped his mouth to her ear. Spoiling you makes my dick hard. Why didn't you say so? She grabbed his hand and tugged him toward the exit. Let's go shopping.
She takes him to go buy herself some jeans because she doesn't really have jeans to work around at the bar. And as she's shopping, she realizes she learned the value of money just like Daniel wanted because she sees that the jeans are $100 each and she's like, that's expensive. Brendan lets her know that he makes more than that for one single crab, and he tells her that he does at least 80,000 pounds of crab a season. So she tries to like mentally calculate it and is shocked to see that it's close to like $1 million. So he's literally a millionaire and she's supposed to be learning the value of money.
Oh, I'd be like, yes, I'll stay with you. Yes, we can be boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yes, I love you.
She tries to make a joke and tell him that she just learned the value of money and she can't have a rich boyfriend, so they have to break up. And he starts having a full-on panic attack, and she's like, I'm just kidding.
I was gonna say, if this is a fucking third act breakup.
She asks him to forgive her by picking out her jeans, and then she starts to strip in front of him. He's hard as fuck, and she asks for him to put the next pair of jeans on her so he gets to his knees. As he's face-to-face with her crotch, he remembers that she got waxed earlier.
Truthfully, he'd never given a thought to women's landscaping before. But ever since the first time he'd eaten Piper's pussy, he'd craved hers. The way it looked, felt, tasted, the smooth succulence of her. A bare puss.
He asks if he can see, so she nods as he pulls her thong down. He growls that she is his, and she agrees.
Going to spoil you with my credit card now. He kissed the top of her slit, then have you sit on my face and spoil you fucking rotten with my tongue later.
God, I've seen what you've done for others.
He helps her get into the pair of jeans and then lets her feel how hard he is. They both agree that these are the jeans that look the best on her, and then he tells the sales lady that they'll actually take one of every pair.
Okay.
She stalls shopping for the rest of the day because she's nervous to have sex with him this time because she knows that she's in love with him. He could tell something's up, so he asks her if she's okay, and just as she is about to tell him she loves him, her old friend Kirby calls, so she excuses herself to take the call. Kirby's pretty much telling her that she's more famous now than before for throwing the party of the decade and then just disappearing. She wants Piper to come back so she can throw a party, and Piper might get enough publicity to actually like make money off of it now. Piper's super conflicted, but Kirby tells her that it's already booked for September 7th and she bought her a plane ticket back. Piper says that she'll think about it and hangs up as Brendan walks up to her. She knows that she's not going to tell him about the conversation, so they continue back to the hotel. When they get to the floor where their rooms are, he knows something is up because she's acting weird now, but she won't say. She even tries to distract him with sex, but he's not having it. She finally tells him what the call was really about and that she wasn't going to say anything because she knew he would ask what she wants to do, and she doesn't know what she wants. All she knows is that she loves him. He scoops her up and says that he loves her too, and they'll figure the rest out. He takes her to his room, undresses her, and tells her to get on the edge of the bed.
Like, girl, that should be your answer. Like, the fact that you're like, I don't know, but I love you. And then you might pick someone else. Also, I didn't say this in the beginning, but Kirby, her friend Kirby, she ended up in jail because Kirby was the one that sold her out, that she was the one that like broke into the hotel to throw the party. So like, Kirby sucks. Like, she's not even a good friend.
Yeah, don't go then. There was no way he couldn't take a moment to admire the work of art that was Piper. The lithe lines of her parted thighs, the ass that made his life heaven and hell. He gripped the cheeks now and kneaded them, spreading the flesh so he could see what was waiting for him in between. Her butthole.
He starts to eat her ass as she's bent over the edge of the bed, and they're both loving it. He stops and lines his dick up and then remembers the headboard is a mirror, and he almost comes just by looking at them. They both finish and tell each other how much they love one another, and the rest of the Seattle trip is amazing. They get back to Westport, and Piper thinks that she could really make this place a home for herself. After they drop Fox off, Hannah declares that her and Piper are actually moving into Brendan's house, so Piper won't feel bad about leaving Hannah at the apartment. So Hannah is like, yeah, we're moving in with you. Get it ready. He doesn't hesitate and tells the girls to go pack their shit. Piper is like, we cannot just randomly move in with you. But he's like, yeah, you can. Hurry up. Go pack.
He says, yes, you can.
She tells him, okay, they'll pack. And then they'll meet at his house tonight with groceries to at least make him dinner. When they get to the house later, he grabbed his parents' record player for Hannah. And Piper is even more smitten because he's taking care of both of them now. And Hannah's like, you should marry him.
Yeah, you should.
They fall into a good routine at his house. They fuck in the morning. She goes and helps Abe to the museum, comes home, eats breakfast, and then they fix up the bar. It's almost finished, and her and Hannah decide that the bar will be named Cross and Daughters for their dad. They hang up the final touch, which is a sign that Piper and Hannah made for the bar, and she describes it as probably being really embarrassing and shitty, but they made it by themselves and painted it, so they're really proud of it.
Cute.
Piper tells Hannah that she thinks that she is going to be staying in Westport. Brendan is at the house right now, and he can't help but think everything going on is too good to be true, and he's waiting for something to happen. He knows his anxiety will leave if she just would tell him outright that she's staying, but she still hasn't said anything. As they make dinner, the night before he leaves, she tries to ask if he wants kids, but then Daniel calls. She answers, and he wants to confirm that the grand opening is still going on before he buys a ticket, since she's not known for her reliability, and she like starts to shut down because it's just another person doubting her. Brendan is now pissed off at this, and when he hangs up the phone, he asks if Daniel coming is just a safety net in case she wants to go back to LA, and she says that it was. She tries to explain it's not like that anymore. He then asks if she told Kirby that she's not coming back to LA, and she doesn't answer. Now he's super hurt and tells her she should think about what she wants while he's not in her face. So he packs a bag to stay on the boat. Before he can leave, she tells him that she'll be there in the morning to kiss him goodbye. If not, then she's falling back on her plan and going home to LA.
What?
Here's your third act breakup.
Stupid.
Piper goes to bed mad and wakes up fuming. She gets ready for her run, has a pep talk with Hannah, and then goes to meet Abe before going to the dock to see the ship off. As her and Abe walk, she tells him that the bar is finished, and then this poor old man trips and falls and cracks his head open on the side of the street. She's panicked and says that she's gonna call him an ambulance, but he begs her to just call his son Todd. Todd tells her that he'll be there in 15 minutes. He's dropping the kids off, and she knows in 15 minutes Brendan will be gone, and hopes that he has enough faith to wait for her because she's not gonna leave Abe by himself. By the time Todd picks up Abe, it's 30 minutes past when the Delray is supposed to leave, so she books it and runs all the way there. It's gone, so she stares out at the ocean and cries and cries and cries. This part was kind of rude, but the other fisherman wives are just like packing up their stuff to leave, and they're like, toughen up, lady. He doesn't want no whiner when he gets back home.
They're like, we've been through this.
You have a cell phone.
You know what, Jenna?
You called Todd. Just call him.
It's Labor Day at noon. Daniel has called to cancel. He will not be showing up to the grand opening. So she is very upset now, and it's clear that her stepdad and Brendan don't believe in her. So she decides to believe in herself. So she powers through and finishes setting up. The whole town knew that it opened at 6:30. No one shows up.
What the fuck?
By 8 p.m., someone finally shows up. It's Mick, and he's really awkward and says that not a lot of people are interested in flashy changes in this town. Now she loses all her faith and knows she shouldn't be here, and then he leaves. Hannah knows Piper is not okay, and Hannah tells her it's okay for her to go back to LA. She can always come back afterwards. Hannah orders her an Uber, and she packs her bag to leave.
Oh my god.
As the Delray pulls back into the harbor, he can't believe that she didn't show up. It's all he's thought about this whole time. He puts on his rain jacket, and in the pocket is a selfie of them with the cute message, and his heart breaks. He knows he fucked up by looking at that photo, and as soon as they get to the dock, a message pops up on his phone explaining why she was late.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Him and Fox race to the bar and make it there at 11 p.m. It is popping. There's people everywhere. Hannah's the only one working, only one bartending, and he is so proud of the girls. He spots Hannah bartending and searches for Piper everywhere but can't find her. He asks Hannah where she went, and Hannah admits that she left for LA and she might not be back. She also lets him know that no one showed up, not their stepdad, not him, or the whole town, so she told Piper to go get her sparkle back. Abe is there and explains further on why she was late, and now Brennan wants to die. He's like, I'm the biggest piece of shit. Like, I had no faith in her and I should have. He then declares to the whole bar, he's gonna win his woman back.
Go get her. Run to the airport.
Hannah sends him the info to the party in LA and tells him to bring her sister back.
Why can't he just call her?
No. Then it's not declaring his love, Charlotte.
Right, but she has to go like a week just being miserable.
Yeah.
Okay.
Piper knew it was a mistake to come back to LA, and she knew it was an even bigger mistake when Kirby has her straddling a mechanical unicorn to be elevated through a trapdoor as the entrance to the party.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Fuck Kirby, dude.
Yeah, she's the worst.
Once it lifts through the stage, she slides off to find the nearest exit to call Brendan when she sees him. They lock eyes and she runs for him. When they reach each other, she tells him she wants to leave, so they go outside and he apologizes profusely while holding her and asking for forgiveness. He lets her know how crowded Cross and Daughters actually was and how it was amazing and he wishes she would have been there to see it. They kiss and agree to go home in the morning. It's in the epilogue. It's 1 week later. Brendan's back from a fishing trip, but Hannah's going back to LA. She's full-time at Brendan's house now, and before Hannah leaves, she gets a present on the front door from Fox. Piper is, again, very suspicious of this, but doesn't further comment on it since Brendan is coming home. The end.
Wow, cutesy. I really like that one.
How many red pepper emojis do you give it?
I think I'd give it 4.
Okay.
Some of the banter during the sex was a little,
yeah.
Silly.
It's different.
Do you think Brendan is sexy?
Yeah, why not?
Would you trade places with Piper?
Sure.
Yeah.
Hot millionaire boyfriend?
Yeah.
Well, next week we're telling Riley all about Mercy by Sarah Kate, and we're gonna have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about.
All right, so I already know it's another Salacious Players Club book, so I think it's gonna be a new kink that hasn't like been explored in the other books, possibly. Maybe the Salacious Players ones is hard for me to like,
yeah,
do, because I already kind of know like the vibe of the book, you know.
What kink do you think it's gonna be?
Have we had a dom sub one?
Yeah,
the first one. Maybe like Hupig or something.
I think you're right on. You're spot on.
Yeah, it's a Hupig book.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at Smut Up and Listen Podcast and on TikTok at Smut Up and Listen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at Smut Up and Listen Podcast and on TikTok at Smut Up and Listen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.